Hello there, you're listening to the Watson's Daily Podcast with me, Peter Watson, on Monday the 4th of July. Today I'm joined by Alina Kazmi, who is a Watson's Daily Ambassador. Hi there, Alina. How are you today?
I'm very well, Peter. How about yourself?
Yeah, very well, very well. So what story stood out for you in today's Watson's Daily then?
I think there were quite a few stories that stood out to me today, despite you predicted that there won't be that many stories because it's 4th of July.
Yeah. I got that wrong, didn't I?
But I think the story that stood out to me the most was Rolls-Royce mini nuclear reactors.
Yeah.
I think it's because it's interesting because if it rolls out, the first one scheduled to go online.
See what we did there. Let's pause a minute to appreciate that one. Anyway, carry on.
Scheduled to go, the first one is scheduled to go online in 2029. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really interesting because it will really help deliver quite a few goals that are sort of planned in England. So Johnson's levelling up goals. And it'll also make UK less reliant on other countries for energy supplies. So I think there's quite a few targets that it would hit. And it's So now that they've sort of thought out all the different areas and the proposed locations for where it's going to push out these small modular reactors, I think even the areas that it's chosen, they are quite interesting because, of course, they're areas where there's less jobs available, less skillful labour. So I think it really will help towards pushing low carbon electricity for generations to come. And it's also affordable, and it will also provide jobs and help train the people in those areas with improve the skill sets. And there was quite an interesting fact that one 470 megawatt plant will be able to power about 1 million homes. So I think that would really work well with the soaring electricity bills, and individuals are already looking for alternative methods of generating electricity away from the traditional oil and gas, like you mentioned today about how I didn't realize that solar panels was the most searched on eBay. It just shows that people are considering and looking for other ways to generate electricity. And if the cost of electricity is to go down, that would also help making electric vehicles more viable. What were your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, Rolls-Royce SMRs obviously are something that are really interesting for the future. I think that, yeah, the fact that they cost a lot, you know, a fraction of the price of a normal nuclear reactor is always going to be good. And I think that everyone else in the world is looking for energy independence. And so I think that most countries are at least looking at nuclear power as an option. I would suggest that Japan is probably the least likely to go for anything because it has recent memories of Fukushima. And so although actually at the moment that is a big topic of debate because Japan just doesn't have many natural resources, it's still having to import oil and gas from Russia, for instance, even though it doesn't want to, but it is. Anyway, coming back to it, this is a sort of thing that needs doing. What is particularly interesting here, though, is I reckon is the fact that you've got Rolls-Royce making these small modular reactors, and I think that they're putting a lot of pressure on the government to approve stuff, get things moving. And I think if the sooner that it does this, the sooner it can get to market, the sooner other potential customers can look at this, and Rolls-Royce can sort of pivot their move or a kind of move anyway, or at least a diversification away from engines to these things. So I think that this will essentially in the UK, this will be their shop window, and if people like it, then obviously Rolls-Royce will do very well out of it install them elsewhere. So I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? I mentioned, I think it was last week, about a startup that was it was either last week or the week before, where I was talking about a startup that was looking at using, I think, nuclear waste to generate electricity and stuff like that. But the thing is, though, if you've got a nuclear reactor, you want to have heard of the company that's making it, really, don't you? I mean, you don't want to go, oh yeah, we're having this massive nuclear reactor being built, and it's built by, you know, XYZ, and you're thinking, oh, I've no idea who they are. Rolls-Royce is supposed to be a badge of that you can believe in, that you can trust in terms of the excellence of quality, and that is exactly what you want. So I mean, I think that Rolls-Royce should be playing. And by the way, just for those who haven't heard me say this for a while, Rolls-Royce is an engineering company, not a car company. Rolls-Royce cars is owned, you know, is different to Rolls-Royce, which makes all the engines for aircraft and stuff like that, and they parted company many, many years ago. But I know that a lot of people, when you hear the words Rolls-Royce, you think of cars, but we're actually talking about engineering. Going back to it, I do think that this is an interesting area. It's a shop window. The sooner they can get it done, the sooner other countries and things can see it, and the sooner they can potentially get a massive load of money from this. And in the meantime, provide clean power, of course. Yeah. And, sorry, I forgot about that. Yeah.
And
yeah,
reduce like the huge cost of constructions.
Yeah, exactly. And that is a major thing, isn't it? So there we go. I mean, I thought that was that was a very good choice of story, and obviously we're just gonna see how it goes, because they keep putting pressure on the government. I'm going to move on to the story that I found interesting today, or particularly interesting rather. It was about, this is an article from the Financial Times. It's talking about the UK potentially moving closer to a US style of class actions. Now, class actions are basically big law cases brought on behalf of big groups of people. Now, they're pretty big in the US. We have had these before, and it means that people who feel that they wouldn't have stood a chance against massive companies are actually able to participate and get some damages, you know. And so we've seen that in things like most recently Johnson & Johnson and their baby powder. Baby powder, that sounds awful. Talcum powder for babies. Sorry about that. Come on, that sounds awful. I didn't mean that. So talcum powder, which is supposed to, be carcinogenic if it was put in certain area or on certain areas of the body, something like that. Anyway, basically, it was taken to, it was a class action on that. There have in the past been actions on tobacco companies with regard to the link between smoking cigarettes and getting lung cancer, for instance. So all of these things, they enable people that wouldn't otherwise, or think that they wouldn't otherwise stand a chance, have a chance. And this particular article goes on about MasterCard and saying that it broke EU competition law by imposing unfair interchange fees on customers between May 1992 and June 2008. Now, the thing is that if that comes to fruition, apparently this is a 10 billion a £10 billion lawsuit. If it comes to fruition, a lot of people may get a payout that they didn't expect. And because the reason is because, well, you explain it to the listeners. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Explain to the listeners why the, you were saying about how, I forgot my train of thought here, that, that consumers, what was I going to say?
You were talking, I was listening, and I was like, and then you just stopped and said, explain your thoughts.
I'll start again. Right, okay, so I'll rewind. Basically, they broke competition law by imposing unfair interchange fees on there. Now, the reason why this is interesting is because you have to opt out to not be part of this. So in other words, you are automatically opted in terms of this. And so it means that's why you may, because if you've used a MasterCard debit or credit cards during that time, which most people will have, or a lot of older people anyway, would have done, then, you know, like I say, you may well be getting at some point in the future, some money that you never thought you never realized. But anyway, it's very interesting. I do think that class actions can do good. But what do you think on this?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. And as you mentioned about the opt-out clause, which means that everyone's going to be included unless you actually want to opt out of the case. But I think it would be difficult to track the millions of customers that would be owed compensation. And I think it's an area that lawyers would certainly need to get involved, especially with giving legal advice as to what their rights are. And I think large sort of technology companies will also be targeted with pharmaceutical companies. And there's been lots of recent cases, like the case with UK iPhone users against Apple. And I think the key thing that I think would come up would be that it may hinder their innovation and it's restricting them. So I think that they would try to argue that. But like you mentioned, that it, because it usually affects those companies that are in the FTSE 250 rather than FTSE 100, because these companies are already so global. And also, it would push these businesses to act in a responsible manner, because now that everyone's able to sort of gather together to sort of put action against these companies, I think it would really make them reevaluate what they would sort of like the things that they would do. And also, I think it would be very difficult to say how many people would actually want to get involved in these lawsuits against these big companies. And if they do start paying out these individuals, would that mean that individuals would sort of, and in small sort of companies would gather together to go against these larger companies even more often?
No, there is a risk of that, isn't there? And I mean, I just think that in this country, we're not as litigious, generally speaking, as they are in America, where it seems to me that it's not uncommon to have, you know, hear the threat, I'm going to sue you. Whereas I'd say you don't really hear that so much over here. But anyway, that can obviously change. That kind of thinking does take a while to become ingrained, I think, in the nation's psyche. But I think that it is something that needs to be done. And actually, to be honest, in this case, I would have thought that, you know, there is, I don't know the details, but in theory, you could see, like, you know, MasterCard, Visa, and sort of Amex, but not really, but MasterCard and Visa have basically got the market sewn up. So I think they are very potentially very good targets, because of what they do and their ability to pay, essentially. So so I think that would be quite interesting to see whether this works. This could be a new area for law firms to earn a lot of money. I mean, this is a £10 billion lawsuit. which is, you know, which is big in the UK. So I think that, you know, firms could be really quite interested in this as to sort of pivot their businesses to look into this a bit more.
And it's also interesting because it might cause some sort of reputational damage as well. If people are trying to find holes in where companies are going wrong, I think it would really impact their reputation, like with Johnson & Johnson's talcum powder.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So anyway, I think we better bring it to a close there. But thank you very much. Sorry about me losing my track of thought halfway through talking. Can't believe it. I would just blame it on age, right? You know, me just getting old and the brain not working so well. So apologies for that. But hopefully I'll slap my brain into submission in time for the next next podcast tomorrow, and I'll be tip top. I'm so sorry about that. Anyway, thank you very much, Alina, and we'll leave you there today. We'll be back again tomorrow. Many thanks. Bye.